Encourage me the whole way long. I said, ow. What's poppin', America? What's poppin', Bangladesh? Big up, Bangladesh. What's poppin', India? What's poppin'? Big up, India. Big up. Yeah, man, we're kicking it live from downtown. Beautiful, gritty, shitty. Dark and disgusting, urine smelled downtown LA. Live on skidrowstudios.com. Write this number down, 1-800-893-9562. You're listening to, of course, the Nestorious Public Radio Show. And I'm your host, Nestor Rodriguez, aka
Nestorious, the Glorious.
That's right. And that's my man right there, Mr. Simon Kaufman, live and direct.
Ooh wee, it's me.
and on mic number three is my man Richie.
Motherfucker stole my line. I was gonna come in with that. Ooh wee.
Yo, it's just me.
It's just me.
Rich C on mic three.
It's me, Rich C.
Yo, that's my man Rich C on mic three. Big up to Rich C. Big up. Big up. We're going to keep the big ups on a low because they're getting expensive on the show. FCC is charging us a little bit too much money for every big up that we do. So we're going to keep the big ups probably to like one section.
We're going to do more little ups than big ups.
Right. We're going to do a lot of little ups and then we'll do the big ups. So somebody just asked me a little while ago, like, what our show is about. And I didn't know how to answer it.
Our show is like when goddesses kiss you on the lips after drinking wine in a field.
Yeah, I just told them our show is about big ups.
That's what's up. It's true.
That's what I'm saying. It's about big ups, man. I want to give big props to my man Nicodemus in the control board there. That's my man. Big up to Nicodemus.
Big up.
Yeah, man. I just came back from New York. You know, I had my IRS audit. As you remember, we talked about the IRS in episode one, the history of the IRS. And I just got to say, man, it was interesting. You know what I mean? Of course, I was very prepared. I have all my stuff in order. I had a big folder with dividers in it.
You were legit.
Had everything that, you know, what they do is they send you a list of things that they want from you.
Yeah.
Item one, you know, tax returns from 2010, blah, blah, blah. Item two, reconciled receipts. Item three, blah, blah, blah. So I had everything all in order.
You opened that shit up. They went, oh, shit.
I said, padow.
They went, oh, no. She said, we're going to be here a little while.
Put that back.
Yeah.
They closed the lid on that, said, you can go, Nestor.
Well, kind of.
You got your shit straight.
Well, when I first spoke to the chick, man, she was an Asian chick. She sounded really dry. I said, oh, fuck, man. It's going to be rough. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, man. But when I saw her, she was this, like, petite Taiwanese chick, real cute. So, you know, there was the charisma thing. You know, I was just playing the passing the bodega, I say suave maneuver. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And she asked me a question. I had the right answer. My accountant was there. He went buck wild after a certain point. I was like, that's enough, Howie. You just chill, okay? You just chill.
Yeah.
Because I think I got this. So we broke for lunch. She said, I think everything seems to match up. We broke for lunch. I'll call you back. I just need to look at some bank statements. So me and my accountant went out for lunch. She calls me about an hour and a half later. I come back and I thought everything was going to go smooth and shit. Then she starts asking me for like credit card receipts and all sorts of stuff. And she starts going in like piece by piece by piece, bro. My heart was like, oh, shit.
So that's how they get you. First, they're like, oh, I think everything looks good. Let's get lunch.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, everything looks good. You're lighting up a spliff.
You fucking
you're at the taco truck.
That's what I'm saying. You light up a bowl.
That's how they get you. Yeah. You're hanging out. You take some shots. You're like, you're happy. You come back and she's like,
Okay.
What is the purchase at Poquito Mas on the 2nd of December?
Right. You can't be deducting condoms. What is this? You can't be deducting mouthwash. Listerine, that's not a deductible item. What is this? And, you know, then I got to get, crafty. You know what I'm saying?
The Fabulous Rainbow Dancing Cabaret Club.
Right.
Why were you there at 1 a.m. writing this off?
Well, simply put, I run a business. I'm in the entertainment business. Sometimes you never know if Tom Cruise needs Listerine or condoms. So I have to run out in the middle of the shoot and get him what he needs. Maybe he wants to go to the Krispy Kreme fucking strip variety.
Yeah. I'm in entertainment business. It's very fast paced. Sometimes I need a woman to rub her crotch on me for $20.
Right. But the
and
thing
it could
is,
be one in the morning.
Here's the thing. Here's what I learned. Seriously. A, I was prepared. I had everything that she needed.
Right.
I wasn't necessarily prepared at that particular time for her, like, microscopically questioning me for certain things. I did know the answers, though. I was prepared. I mean, like, I know, for example, if you're going to give a gift, this is for you people out there. The IRS only allows up to $25 per business gift. So when she starts going through my receipts and she goes, what is this? Tiffany's and this and that. You know, Papa Doc comes up and says, yo. I deal with highfalutin executives. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes a nigga got to get a business account at Tiffany's. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes my people, they need business card holders. You know what I'm saying? And they're sterling silver. But check it. Peep it. I only spend $25. She was like, oh, okay, next. You know what I mean?
Right.
The thing was, I was armed, you know, with the right answers. And so I think I did all right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think I did all right. It wasn't a big thing. But the moral of the story is, you know, go there prepared. As prepared
Keep
as
your records.
Yeah. All your records in order. Be prepared for, you know, out of left field questions. Just know what the parameters are.
Yeah, and know how to hide money. Offshore accounts.
She asked me that.
Put things in your children's name.
She asked me that.
Really?
Yeah, she says, you don't have any accounts in foreign countries. And I said, of course not. It's illegal.
Right.
I know for a fact that
I'm not a politician. Why would I do things like that?
No. But I'm saying,
I'm not a United States senator. Why would I break the law?
No, but I'm saying sometimes you'll come up and you'll say something to somebody, like they'll ask you a question and you'll go, oh, I didn't know you wasn't supposed to do that. And you know what I mean? They'll catch you. I was like,
No,
I was like, I know. I mean, I know what the ruling is on that. I know that the IRS requires anybody who has a savings account or any kind of business account outside of the United States, you have to let them know. Why? Because you want you motherfuckers to enlarge our assholes from abroad. Yes. You want to remote control the foop that's going to go into the sphincter hole that I've been saving all my fucking life. That's why.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We want theirs.
Yeah.
They want theirs and they're good.
Anyway, the point is just, you know, get your shit in order and be prepared for
your money, folks. You know, wash your money. Vending machines, soda machines, you know, find a way, car washes, find something you can do to hide money and wash your money so that when the IRS comes looking for your offshore bank accounts. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's a big surge of vending machine sales in the past.
That's right.
Years.
Yeah, you know,
tonight, we're going to be discussing topics like George Bush's library. Famous quotes from George Bush that would qualify him to have a library named after him. We're going to be talking about the immigration reform. We're going to be talking about people all over America doing stupid shit, you know, shit like that. Anyway, thanks for tuning into Nestorius Public Radio. And call 1-800-893-9562. 1-800-893-9562. You're listening live. It's 9 p.m. In California and in West Coast. And it's about midnight, a little after midnight on the East Coast. So wake the fuck up. Make a phone call. You know what I'm saying? What do you got to say?
Pick it up. Pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Do it.
Pick it up. We have a PayPal account. We're going to be taking fundraisers so that we can keep this shit going. All right? Anyway, we're going to kick it off on some of the controversies of last week, courtesy of The Week, my favorite news magazine. So it was a good week for Icelandic lovers who can now use a smartphone app to avoid accidental incest. For real, this is true. I'm serious, ain't no bullshit. The nation's 320,000 residents are often related because of generations of inbreeding. So prospective partners can bump their phones and hear an alarm if they're cousins. This is straight up.
I don't like it.
I thought you would never think Icelandic people, almost fucking 320,000 of them are almost related. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, who cares?
That's not a big number though in that area, because people, they fuck a lot
in Iceland.
Everywhere. People, they're fucking a lot. Look at Kobe.
Accidental incest.
Yeah,
is not that big a deal.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want a phone app to tap. I mean, by the time you bought her dinner, I would have to tap before dinner. I'd have to tap before we got back in my car. I would want to tap first. Tap, then, hi, what's your name? Because by the time I've invested, by the time I've bought her dinner and gotten her home, tap, no tap, it's on. First cousin, second cousin, twice removed,
it doesn't matter.
It's on.
It don't matter.
Yeah,
right. Like, you're saying, I don't want to know.
I don't want to, I want to tap something else. I don't want to tap my phone at that point.
You're okay with the incest.
Yeah. Accidental incest?
As long as you don't know.
I'd rather tap what I brought home from the bar than my cell phone to another cell phone.
I understand that. So the other good thing was, for George W. Bush, our former president, whose presidential library opened with his popularity rebounding. In a new poll, 47% said they approved of Bush's job as president, while just 34% said they strongly disapproved. So, I mean, they named a library, or they opened. So what's the deal? Once a president is retired, after he leaves the presidency, they name a fucking library after them? Is that?
Well, yeah, I guess. I don't know what you got to do to get your library. I guess it's like equivalent to the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame or something.
Is that what it is?
Probably, because, you open a library and it adds some credibility to you. And if anybody needs any credibility, it's that guy, right?
Well, I mean,
he's trying to get his ratings up.
I just don't understand, out of all things that you would name after get something opened and named after, why would a library? I mean, I can see, like,
because nobody would buy a school.
No, but I'm saying I'm saying like an abortion clinic.
What do you want to open up, a rib shack?
No, it might be
in his line. I mean,
George W. Bush.
No, abortion clinic, or maybe a condom factory. You know what I'm saying? Like, this ends here.
Start a gun company. You know, like something like that. Something related to his heritage.
Or like in Canada, they have these they're called suicide bags. Like, if you have a terminal illness, you put them over your head,
right,
and you can like go peacefully in your sleep.
Oh yeah,
it's a self-inflicted euthanasia.
You asphyxiate yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, not asphyxiate. It slowly you run out of oxygen and you die in your sleep. They should name like some of those fucking things after him.
Yeah, they could have different flavors. Grape flavored air.
So your dog comes and licks it off of you. I want to die.
Motherfucker eats it.
I want to die. Get off of me, you fucking dog.
I want the strawberry gas.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, There's no gas. It's just basically.
But it would smell like strawberries inside. You know, so you go out smelling your favorite flavor.
Vanilla aroma.
No, but I'm saying.
New car scent.
No, I'm saying.
Put the trees in your bag.
Yeah, imagine that shit. You want to go in peace. You got triple fucking stage ball cancer. You're in your bed. You smoked your last bong. You ate your favorite meal. You've come to the conclusion that you're cool with it, right? You don't want to deal with chemotherapy. You buy the George Bush kill yourself in your sleep bag.
Yeah, and on the bag on the front, it has a picture of him. So when you're laying there, it's like him that's dying.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know about that. That would freak me the fuck out.
I want to be remembered like the great.
Yeah.
I want to be remembered as a great man.
But if you put a fucking flavoring on it.
Like if you like to smell your own farts, you could like preload it with your own farts in there.
Oh, come on. That's crazy.
I had to go there.
I hear you. That's crazy. But anyway, the thing is, and just so you know, we here at Nestorius Public Radio, we're not either Republican nor Democrat. We just like to poke fun at everyone. And so everyone's fair game here. We just like to talk a lot of shit.
Yeah, we don't even vote. Half of us are felons. Yeah. We can't even vote if we wanted to.
I can't vote.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
Rich doesn't even have his gun rights.
It doesn't matter.
The point is, I don't vote. It's always on a Tuesday.
Well, you got shit to do.
Tuesday is fucking...
Why do they always put it on a Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Well, Tuesday is buy one gram, get one free at the local fucking medical marijuana shop.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, so Tuesday is buy one, get one free cigars that you go for.
Where I go Tuesdays is... Happy Tuesdays. You buy two cigars, you get one free. And at your medical marijuana joint, you buy two buds, you get one free. And anywhere in fucking Southern California, it's Taco Tuesdays. It's the worst day for voting.
It's the worst day for voting.
Yeah, it's
they
the worst
do this.
Day.
See, that's how they get you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what it is?
You know what it is? I'll tell you right now. Okay, hold on. I'm going to tell you right now what it is.
They're out there, and they're counting on us not to show up. That's why they do it on Tuesday.
Look, like I always say, it used to be your vote didn't count. Now, with electronic voting, no one's even counting your vote. Yeah. You're pushing it off into a sky.
They pull some crazy shit on the vote.
Look, who cares?
You know, side note, you know, back a couple of years ago, they were going to get rid of, I know this wasn't on the list, but they were going to get rid of, what's it called? The rent control, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're going to get rid of that.
They got rent control here in California, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but the building has to be, I guess...
75% occupied by...
In the year 77, it had to be built in 77 or occupied by 77. Or before. After that, you're kind of fucked. So, you know, not a lot of people with central air.
Damn, New York City is not as fucked up as that. New York City... If you have a rent controlled or rent stabilized apartment, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You could, like, technically pawn it off to your siblings.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, your son, your sister, you keep it in the family.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I knew these people that lived. What's the one place down that they built? Oh man, it's right on the Village, right coming down to FDR. That big right off 14th Street. The FDR, Cooperstown, Cooper Village.
Peter
Cooper Village.
Right next to Menchie's?
Peter Cooper.
Peter Cooper Village.
Yeah.
I knew some people that lived in there. They had the apartment forever. They were living right there for not that much money, you know?
Yeah. But I think those are co-ops, so you have to buy into that.
But it was grandfathered in.
Okay, yeah.
No. That was built for the workers. Village was built back in the day
for workers and people
for workers
came back
who
from
were
going to
come and yeah who co- yeah
right.
So wait, let me tell you about
finish
this.
The story. Yeah.
So you're going down to vote for all that, right?
Right.
But there's a lot more people living in apartments than houses, and they were trying to kind of base it, you know, make it a little even or whatever. So they tell you where to go and vote, and it was at this like Goodwill on the corner of like Laurel Canyon and Riverside. And there's a sign in the window that says, "Nah, sorry, we changed the polling place last minute, and here's the new address." And the new address was completely wrong. It was on Moore Park, and you go to the address with the GPS, and it's in a park, but it's actually Riverside. So they, they fucked up, you know, conveniently for that. So I finally found the place. I figured it was Riverside, and I asked the dude, I'm like, "Why did they change this? Are they going to try and make it harder for people to vote to keep rent control?" And the dude was like,
"Sure,
they do that shit all the time.
Sure.
Seriously.
They're going to do whatever they can." But anyway, I have a. We kind of went all over the place there, but I have a psychotic. Well, not a psychotic, but quite a few quotes. And I got these quotes from Ambushed. It's a book called Ambushed. Leland Gregory is the author. It's a compilation of brilliant and if not scholarly and ingenious quotes by Mr. George W. Bush, which answers my question why he got a library named after him. Not... Here we go. Number one, my favorite. Not my favorite. My number one. I'm hopeful. I know there is a lot of ambition in Washington, obviously, but I hope the ambitious realize that they are more likely to succeed with success as opposed to failure. That's a quote. Listen, this is a straight up quote. January 18th Associated Press interview, 2001. This is, I'm going to read a couple of quotes. So you ask yourselves, America, how the fuck, the first election, he was accused of stealing it, right?
Was it the first one or the second
one? I thought it was the first one, and then the second one,
it went to the vote in Florida, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. The first one, he was accused of stealing it. So he's in the first term here. Right. If people in America were paying attention to the shit, to some of the shit this guy was saying, then you have to ask yourself, how was he reelected the second time? Because the second time, he didn't steal it. The second time was a straight out, he fucking won the election.
Right.
You know what I mean? So here's another quote. My pro-life position is I believe there's life. It's not necessarily based in religion. I think there's a life there. Therefore, the notion of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Yes, the fetus is focused on the life,
this motherfucker
liberty,
is like straight up El Kabong, straight up. Here's another one. For every fatal shooting, there are roughly 3 non-fatal shootings. Folks, this is unacceptable in America. We're going to do something about it. This is him. This is fucking, you can't make this up. You can't make this up. And believe it or not, a lot of this stuff is in 2001. This is in 2001. A lot of it is, this is George W. Bush says shooting himself in the foot while talking about gun violence in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, May 14, 2001. Here's another one. Our nation must come together to unite.
He's got some redundancy in
there. He goes, yeah. My administration has been calling upon all the leaders in the Middle East to do everything they can to stop the violence, to tell the different parties involved that peace will never happen. Oh, my God. Here we go. It is in your best interest, by the way, that we have a literate tomorrow. You're irrelevant if people can't read. And we need to start figuring out whether they can or cannot early in a child's career. Oh, my God. This is crazy. You got some, Rich, don't you?
Yeah, I was looking a couple up over at about.com under the entertainment political humor section. And I went down to number 4, which, because I thought this was kind of funny. Our enemies are innovative and resourceful. And so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people. And neither do we.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, they did a good job on us.
Yeah. He's crazy. Here's the other one. What the hell was this?
Oh, wait a minute. All right, here's another one. Number 3 on their list. Now, he's saying this to a divorced mother. What are you guys doing?
No, I'm just reading.
Here's another one. To a divorced mother of 3, this is what he says to her. He says, "You work 3 jobs. Uniquely American, isn't it? I mean, that is fantastic that you're doing that."
You got to be kidding me. He said that?
To a divorced mother of 3.
Oh, my God.
He's fantastic.
He's amazing.
Well, he's just out of touch. He was just a spoiled rich kid that they put in because people liked his father.
I think he was probably just surprised, because of being the spoiled rich kid. Yeah.
Out of touch? Rich kid. For 2 terms, for 8 years?
Well, Americans are out of touch. Listen, here's
Americans have their heads up their fucking ass.
No, I'm going to tell you right now why Americans have a very difficult time understanding stuff.
Go ahead.
It's because they think in 4-year terms. Right. This is how Americans think. They talk in either 4-year terms or 10-year terms.
Right.
No Americans can think beyond that. We think like, we talk about during the Carter administration. Well, during the Clinton, that's how we codify. Or we think in the 70s, 60s, 80s, or 50s.
Right.
We can't look at history in its entirety. Very rarely does the conversation ever talk about, 100 years,
right.
200 years,
right.
where you can actually see things happen. That's the thing about Americans.
Right.
We don't
know
our
history. That's why you forget shit because you're not looking at the overall scope of the history.
You're not looking at the historical timeline. Like, we don't have that ability because of how, we've been brainwashed to think in 4-year terms or 10-year terms. So it's the Obama years, the Bush years. No.
Right.
This goes on for 500 years. Think in the terms of 1,000 years.
Yes,
think in terms of
page.
Arcs. You know, the way I look at history, I look at it, That's one of the ways why people don't understand where I come from when I look at a lot of American history, because I relate it. I relate American, what's going on today, to what's happened in other cultures at other times in other places of the world in other parts of history. When you open your mind, see, so you know someone knows history shocks them. You know, you people that read the newspaper and they don't know history. Oh my God, did you hear what happened? I can't believe it. Why can't you believe it?
Fat black women got stabbed at Walgreens.
Well, but again, people have been stabbed forever. Yeah, so when you have a historical perspective, things don't shock you as much. Right. You look at like a war that breaks out, you're like, huh, wow, another war. Because you know it's just another war. It's not like,
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Because Americans are forgetful. We have the shortest attention span. And I think a lot of it has to do with what you said. We think in increments, not the whole picture. And we also think in shock value. And, you know, we think in, or we're conditioned to follow the bouncing ball, you know, and so very few. I mean, there's a lot of shit going on in America right now. A lot of shit. Immigration reform. We have immigration reform, gun control. We have Detroit, fucking Detroit. Yeah. One of the biggest manufacturing cities in America. You know,
gone.
Not just gone. Like it's unbelievable what's happening there. Yeah. Like unbelievable. I definitely want to do. Let me just do one more quote and then read something else about Mr. Bush. But I definitely want to do. We're definitely going to do an episode on the history and the demise of Detroit, including the 1943 riots, the 1967 riots. Up to its present day apocalyptic fucking just disaster that's gone in there. I think a lot of people have heard what's going on in Detroit, but I don't think a lot of people actually understand the ramifications of what's actually going on there.
Detroit,
yeah,
yeah. Yo, what up, Detroit?
Hey yo.
That's from a big man, Dorian.
Hey yo.
Dorian Flowers, if you're out there, what's up?
Hey yo, Detroit. Right? Hey yo. Big fuck up, Detroit. big up, you Detroit fuckers. You work hard. You work hard for your money. You keep shit going. You stay there steadfast doing your thing, not interrupted by bullshit that goes on all over America. You stay strong. Big up, we're with you, man.
The Detroit Lions.
All right, one more quote. I just had to say this last one. A free, peaceful Zimbabwe has got the capacity to deliver a lot of goods and services which are needed on this continent in order to help alleviate suffering.
He meant
alleviate. He says alleviate as
in order to alleviate suffering for up to 8 hours.
Should just take some alleviate.
As in the over-the-counter anti-inflammatory drug.
Yeah. Mr. Bush, here in Zimbabwe, we're here to alleviate
your problems
for up to 8 hours.
Your nasal passages.
If the problems persist for 2 days, please consult a physician.
If you have an erection lasting longer than 8 hours.
If you sniff an alleviate and take a Viagra, you may start seeing floaties inside your eyes.
What do you think Zimbabwe people are thinking when they're just looking up at this guy like, well, we can't really say anything, like, you know, right. They're just like,
I don't know. Did everybody tell him that this is a drug over the counter? Does everybody tell him? I don't know what's going on with this president. Somebody need to tell him Aleve is a drug. Yeah, anyway, Mr. Bush, seriously, I was pissed off during the 8 years he was in office. But I had compassion and I felt sad when he was coming down those stairs when Obama took office. He literally looked like you ever see those wildlife that gets washed ashore from like an oil spill, like a duck. It's full of oil and it's all fucking disheveled and shit.
And it's just done.
It's done.
It's just.
That's what homeboy looked like. He just looked like, get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah. He bit off more than he can chew.
I mean, this would be easy. I just have to do what the big hand up my ass told me to do.
Right.
Well, you know, here's the question America needs to ask themselves. Do the people make the leader, or does the leader make the people? I think it's time also that everyone needs to look in the mirror. We got George Bush because we were fat on the hog.
Right.
We weren't reading. We weren't learning. We weren't teaching our children.
And
we weren't working hard.
And we're still not.
So that's the leader you're going to get.
We're still not. We elect a president, our current president. And he, like you said, you know, he's a black president. Let's elect him, which you said. Why is that a big deal? That should not be news. The fact that that's news is fucked up.
After George Bush, they could have run a hippopotamus in a ballerina costume.
And they would have voted for him.
From Fantasia.
Right.
And they would have voted for a pink hippopotamus in a pink ballet costume. Because that's how effed up. I mean, I think what the George Bush years taught us in my generation is we're not as free as we thought. I mean, when he went up and his freedom, freedom, freedom this, it made the rest of us realize, oh, shit. That's bullshit. We're not as free as we thought we were. You know, we now, freedoms are continuously taken away from us. They just, they just passed a bill right now in Congress to be able to, for the police to be able to look into our email and phone records easier.
Right.
You know, that used to not be the case. So I think that's what George Bush taught us. George Bush taught us that the wealthy class, that the people who, you know, the people that sell the weapons, run the big oil trusts. Like, I think our generation got caught up in this. We can be anybody. And now we kind of figured out, oh, no, there's other buddies and they're fucking powerful and there's not shit we can do. We can rally and smoke bongs in the park on Sunday.
They just pumped banners. All this patriotic shit up into our asses and everybody. And if you didn't agree, then you were unpatriotic. And if you didn't go along with what they were fucking saying, then, you're not for America. What are you, Al-Qaeda? You know, and they fucking go nuts.
But we're a lazy society. Yeah. You know, we want to sit back and let somebody else take care of things. You know what I mean? That's why in 4 years, Obama is in office and people are like, well, he hasn't done shit. He hasn't fixed everything that's fucked up. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, really?
Yeah.
He's
trying to unfuck some things first.
But again, you're thinking, no, time out. Again, that's that 4 year thing.
Right.
One of the things I will say about Obama is he has an ability to think long term. He understands what the ramifications of certain things are.
Right.
Okay. And the problem is, and here's the reality is when you're dealing with nations and hundreds of millions of people, you can't just implement something now and sit back and say, oh, who won? It's not a football game. It's not done in 2.5 hours.
Right.
He has to implement strategies now that your children will be able to reap from and then some. But Americans, the polls, fuck the polls.
Right.
I mean, if you said, oh, well, this person says this in the poll, it's like lining up, it's like going to the pool hall. This is what a poll is, like going to the pool hall and lining up all these schmucks and say, what do you think? Well, I think the fucking nation bring back the beer.
I think the white ball should hit the black ball and knock it on the corner.
Yo, I think that, like, you know, they need to keep giving out free pickles with the sandwiches. Nobody knows shit. Fuck the polls. The polls are so stupid.
Yeah. Well, that's also a lot of manipulation.
And I'm talking about Polish people. The polls, these cocksuckers.
They were the ones that voted him in.
Yeah. Big up, Polish people! Big up if you're smart and you're Polish! Big up, big up!
To all you Polish Icelandic people fucking your cousin up in the place, please come and tap the phone.
Big up, Iceland! Yeah. Anyway, another article on the same topic in the week. former President George Bush is in the political wilderness no more, said Fred Barnes in weeklystandard.com. The 43rd president's library and museum were dedicated last week, coinciding with a surge in popularity for the unfairly maligned former president. Bush now has a favorability rating of 47%, about the same as President Obama's, and more than 20 points higher than when Bush left the office. A reevaluation of his legacy is beginning to take hold. Bush's record deserves a second look, said Victor Davis Hanson in nationalreview.com. He wasn't eloquent or slick, but he was a good man who calmed and united the country post 9/11 and kept us safe from further attacks on U.S. soil. While mistakes were made in Iraq, his Churchillian surge in 2006-2007 helped turn the tide. Liberals afflicted with Bush derangement syndrome portrayed W as a callous moron but people once scorned Harry Truman, too. Bush's warranted rehabilitation will come.
We turned the tide in 07 because Bush sat down and realized he wasn't this commander-in-chief with a fucking cowboy hat that he thought he was. He sat down and Petraeus took over. When Petraeus took over and changed the military, that wasn't Bush. That was Bush realizing he had exhausted all his fucking options, been through 7 generals, 9 books, 9 best-selling books they wrote. We attacked Iraq so that the generals could write novels. That's why the fuck we...
He went through 80 medical marijuana cards. He just fucked everything up.
I'm just saying, man, it was when Petraeus came in that he turned the tide. Don't attribute that to Bush.
That's a good point.
They fucked up so bad in the beginning. I mean, let's just talk straight military. Let's not talk Republican, Democrat. They landed and they made this mad surge for Baghdad. Think about this. They landed our troops on, I think we made 3 or 4 major assaults and we rushed up to Baghdad. Meanwhile, we left all the people behind us. You don't just rush up to, this notion that we were going to take out Saddam and everyone was going to wave their panties in the air and come out and like, we're all going to have cake and tea. These people were ready for us. The other thing is, you sat on the news, okay, and I know that's how wars have to be fought these days with the UN, but you gave them like a 2-3 month lead time of maybe we're going to go to war. We're having this speech, this press conference, axis of evil. I mean, it's like, come on, guys. I mean, like, I just wish America would fight wars to win. You don't just announce for 3 months that, like, we're coming. It's going to be great.
That's the thing.
We're having Kool-Aid.
That's the thing. You don't win wars. That's the thing, you see. I wish America, you said something brilliant. You said, I wish America would fight wars to win. You don't win wars. Wars are not meant to be won. Wars are meant to fucking create chaos. Chaos creates money. You understand? It's that war was about fucking like building Starbucks and fucking all these, you know, bullshit.
Yeah, we wanted strip malls. But I'm saying, wars always historically have been made to win. You go to win a war. You go to prosecute another army. And take control or something. We go to set up a base and just have a presence there.
And have a party.
We're not really trying to like win the war. We're trying to just establish ourselves.
If they did, they would have had a better reason and had, they would have at least fucking planted some fucking, you know, weapons of mass destruction in there.
Well, here we go.
Tried to fucking win that shit. You
can't be serious, said Steve Bannon in MSNBC.com. Bush's apologists are now arguing that from 9/12 on, he kept us safe. This judicious bit of editing cuts out the facts that the worst terrorist attack on U.S. soil in history happened on his watch. In August 2001, Bush was on vacation at his Texas ranch when he was hand-delivered a CIA memo entitled Bin Laden Determined to Strike in U.S. with a specific warning about airplanes. All right, Bush told the briefer, you're covered your ass now. He then went back to driving his shiny pickup around his ranch. A month later, 3,000 people died. Saying Bush kept America safe after 9/11 is like saying, other than that iceberg, the Titanic had a pleasant voyage. The catastrophes kept piling up after that, said Jonathan Chait of NewYorkMag.com, a simpleton who ignored evidence in favor of his gut. Bush led us into a bloody and costly war in Iraq on deliberately cooked intelligence and then horribly botched the occupation, pinning our military down there for a decade. At least more than a fucking decade. He presided over an economy sustained by easy credit and an unsustainable housing bubble, which directly caused the 2008 meltdown. Nobody talks about that shit. His unfunded wars and unaffordable tax cuts turned a budget surplus into a $1 trillion annual deficit. History will not be kind to Bush because his 8-year presidency was a full disaster at home and abroad. It's the truth. No one talks about the fucking housing disaster and the banking fiasco that happened on his watch. They want to blame that to Obama, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah, because it happened like almost around his time. Gets sworn in, and then he should have immediately been able to do something about
it. Obama did do something. He saved it.
That's right.
He avoided global banking collapse. And he avoided the collapse of Detroit. Let's remember that, too.
The auto industry, that's right.
Dude, if it weren't, Obama saved the auto industry.
Yo, if Obama did not bail out the automobile industry, brother, how are your cocksucking skills? Did you swallow big, massive quantities of gobbledygook?
For a Ford Fusion, I would.
I'm telling you, man.
Know, when we attacked Iraq, we didn't have enough intel. We didn't have enough translators. We didn't go with enough. We did not go to, like, actually fight that war. It was, do you know what it was? It was it was actually, in a lot of ways, it was an embarrassment, I think, because we had this huge, big, powerful military forever. And we always, like, you know, we were like the big dick on campus. And yeah, we always were.
Out our
we're the only, you know, we have the most powerful fleet. Right. We have, like, a kick-ass Air Force. Hey, we have Trident nuclear submarines, you know what I mean? And we're coming to battle. And here we got a bunch of guys with, like, rocket-propelled grenades, makeshift bombs.
Explosive boulders.
Yeah, like AK-47s left over from the filming of Rambo 3.
Take care of that in a week.
Unlimited supplies of pop rocks to save from the 80s.
They're making, they got Wile E. Coyote making bombs back there, right? Roadside bombs.
That's why they can't, there's this war still going on, because you're fucking with the wrong people.
Well, the other problem, too, is, like, it's hard to fight terrorist organizations with troops on the ground. You have to infiltrate them and assassinate them. But there's just no way. I mean, they come back.
Right.
You know,
1-800-893-9562. Do it, man. Do yourself a favor. Call in. Give us your opinion. We're gonna end this. We have a tendency of getting on one topic and going. This is great, though. I mean, the library? Come on, man. But my favorite thing of all time during Bush's fucking eight-year tenure was getting a shoe thrown at him. Not two shoes. He got two shoes thrown because I watched the
video. He dodged both. That was the bullshit.
Yeah. He dodged both.
He's good at dodging shit.
Well, he dodged both. But the thing is, if somebody was like, if I was unwarranted, if a shoe thrown at me was unwarranted, I would have been like, you know what? This is bullshit. I'm out. You don't control your fucking people. I'm out of here.
Right.
He stands there smug, you know, like, I ain't afraid of you. You ain't afraid of me. I ain't afraid of you. You know what I mean? It was just like, That was it.
Whatever happened to that guy? Is he still in jail? Yeah, through the shoe?
No, I think he's running the Starbucks, the new Starbucks that opened there.
I think they tell us that he's in jail, but his jail is probably really nice.
Yeah.
He's probably got the key to the cell.
What if that was like a carnival ride? Da, 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 da. Now you, come on, step right up, grab a shoe, chuck it in, past presidents, so get them in the dunk tank. Now you can hit our past president, George W. Bush, with a shoe at his own library for free admission.
High and dry, high and dry.
All right. Free Jello in the George W. Bush cafeteria at the library.
Now, here we go.
Put, like, arm guards.
Another controversy.
Yo, you got more controversy.
Hey, yo, bus it. Only in America. Students at a Georgia high school held the school's first ever integrated prom. But a large group of white parents refused to participate, staging their own whites-only prom. Georgia Governor Nathan Deal called the separate proms a private issue and said, this was not something the state government needs to have its finger involved in.
When did this happen?
You would think like maybe 50 years ago.
Just recently.
I didn't realize that they hadn't had.
In the past, they have segregated their proms. This is the first year that they have an integrated prom.
That's correct.
They would have the white prom.
They don't want the white chicks getting pregnant.
Right. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Look at the. You know what it really is?
What is it?
It's the white guys want to get laid. And they know if they let the brothers into the prom.
Hey, yo, where the big fat white ass at?
You can't let the brothers into the prom because then, you know, Victor Swinebuckle.
Man, I used to get laid all the time.
Hey, yo. My name's Victor Swinebuckle. I like my bow tie.
Hey, yo.
Here's a corsage. And the black dude would roll up on fucking 20s.
Baby. Hey, yo.
Pull it up, bumping into all the white chicks.
Mommy,
would want
them. I'm not going to the prom if Tyrone's going to be there because that means I won't get laid.
Can we dance with your dates?
Yes.
Madam. Yeah. Madam.
Listen.
Shall we curtsy?
Listen here.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Brother comes in, dude, you know.
Fuck shit up for the white man.
That's fucked up.
Fucking
playing rap music that doesn't even rhyme anymore at the thing. You're like, rolling with the with the get it down.
Coming down to eat my clown. Coming down.
The rap doesn't even rhyme anymore.
What the fuck is the world coming to? Fucking in rap.
Get it up. Coming down to eat my boss. Coming up. Coming down get it up.
That's like every rap song now.
Wink.
Yo, they don't let us even go to the prom.
Unbelievable.
Oh, they're just teaching racism right there. That's where it comes from.
Unbelievable.
Why is everybody still racist?
Hi, I'm Trevor Tweedbuckle. Would you like to be my dance to the prom? Here's a corsage.
So here we go. Snoop Dogg. Yo, Snoop Dogg, for those of you who don't know, Snoop Dogg, for those of you guys out there in Nestorius public radio land that don't know, Snoop Dogg recently changed his name to Snoop Lion.
Yeah, that was a shock.
To honor his Jamaican roots. I didn't know he had Jamaican roots. But big up! Big up, Snoop Lion! Big up your Bomba Clot Jiffy Pop Popcorn Hairdo Man! Big up! That's right. I'm a big Snoop Dogg fan. Whatever the fuck he calls himself, I'm all for it. Anyway, Snoop Lion might well be the president's number one fan, said Simon Haddonstone, The Guardian in the UK. I love Obama. How could I not love him, says the rapper who used to call himself Snoop Dogg. This motherfucker got 3 states smoking weed legally now, and they're talking about getting Texas, too. If we can get Texas, goddamn, it's a wrap. Snoop never thought he'd see a black president in his lifetime. I had no hope. Ain't no nigga gonna win. And if the nigga do win, they're gonna kill him as soon as he gets in office. But Obama says Snoop. Hold on a second. I just lost my place here. But Obama says Snoop was a different kind of black politician. He was sharp. He had the swagger of a real player, but had the conversation the other people related to. He made everybody feel he was their guy, and now he's in office doing his thing. He's our guy.
Yeah, don't you love it when hip-hop stars are, he's doing his thing up in the White House, you know?
Yeah.
Snoop Lion. Everyone's changing their name. 50 Cent became Fitty.
Yeah.
Puff Daddy became P. Diddy.
Yeah.
And then they got an argument between Fitty and Diddy.
Yeah. It's like, the shitty and the gritty. Come on, Titty. Get with the city.
Oh, God. Everyone changed their name. It's like, oh, I'm a lion now. Oh, I'm a jaguar.
No, I just have to read that.
I'm a bird.
I thought that was funny.
I'm a bird.
I had that funny. Here, another thing. I don't know if you guys knew this, but David Lee Roth, the lead singer of Van Halen, I just have to say that I got big props for homeboy. David Lee Roth willingly surrendered his celebrity, said Steve Kendall in BuzzFeed.com. In the early 1990s, the former Van Halen frontman saw his solo career come to a grinding halt. 2 words, Kurt Cobain says Roth, 57. Glum grunge bands like Nirvana were on the rise and arenas to... And Roth's brand of mindless hedonistic rock was suddenly out of fashion.
They had a new brand of mindless hedonistic rock.
Right. Well, I went. Because Roth's
music was really deep. I mean, I love Van Halen, seriously, but.
So do I. It's great music.
Yeah.
I went from playing arenas to state fairs, he says. That will cause you to reflect on your values. Roth could have sat back, enjoying my accomplishments, living off my residuals. Instead, he gave up rock and roll and retrained as a paramedic in New York City. His rock star past didn't impress his fellow EMTs. The altitude drop is when somebody realizes who you are and then takes you to task. Roth rejoined Van Halen in 2007, but says he was enriched by his several years of going on ambulance runs. In fact, he says being a rock band singer requires some of the same skills as racing around New York, attending to seriously injured people. Verbal judo, staying calm in the face of hyper-accelerated emotion. Same bizarre hours, same keening velocity, free cocaine, blowjobs in the back of the
EMC. A lot of fucking blowjobs.
Didn't he have insurance that if he knocked some chick up that the insurance company would take care of
them? For the rest of that shit.
That's very similar. I mean, a lot of ambulance drivers have that.
I put my name on the list to get impregnated. I said, fuck it, if he's going to take care of me for the rest of my life.
Can you imagine? We got people that used to fight Predators and Commando and Terminator running the California. We got ex rock and roll stars. You're like, imagine you have a heart attack.
Imagine he like once for a roadie backstage when he found my coke stash.
You have a heart attack. You're lying on the ground. You're looking up in the sky. All of a sudden, in walks Alice Cooper, like, hey, hold on. Like,
do you need a blood chain transfusion? Yeah. But you know what? You know
the
what?
The drummer for Scorpion walks in. He starts pumping your chest. You're like, oh, man.
And you're half dead.
I loved you at Red Rocks.
You're half dead. And you're like, I thought you were dead, dude.
Yeah, rock and roll legends. Can you sign my chest after you pump it?
Big up David Lee Roth. We love you here at NPR Nestorius Public Radio. Big up David Lee Roth. All right. That's crazy shit. And one more. I like to look at fucking crazy people doing their crazy shit. There's this guy, Mark Brandon Reed. I don't know if you guys know about him. Mark Brandon Reed from Australia is proof that crime can pay, said Matt Siegel in the New York Times. The most feared criminal in Australian history is the author of a dozen best-selling books detailing his career as a headhunter who made money terrorizing other criminals. In the 1970s and 80s, Reed, known in Melbourne as Chopper, or I think they call it Melbourne in Australia, known in Melbourne as Chopper, kidnapped drug dealers and pimps and tortured them with blowtorches until they handed over their earnings. He extorted money from illegal casino bosses, walking into gambling dens and threatening to light the explosives clamped between his teeth. he says, there's no sense in carrying it in your pocket, is there?
There's no sense in that.
Says Reed.
This guy was like the Dexter of the underworld.
Dude is crazy. Who now lives in a quiet Melbourne suburb with his wife. He is thought to have murdered 19 people, although he disputes that figure. Honestly, I haven't killed that many. Probably about 4 or 7, depending on how you look at it. I like how he goes from 4 to 7. What happened to 4 or 5?
Yeah.
Right? 4 or 7, depending on how you look at it.
A few here, a few 17, you know.
And he notes, he was always polite to his victims. Just because you're going to kill a man is no reason for discourtesy.
Oh, what a nice person.
It's now Reed who's facing death. He was diagnosed with liver cancer last year and has only months to live. Has he thought what will happen when he meets his maker, if anything? He says, what the fuck he says? If anything, I'm owed an apology, is what he says. Unbelievable. This guy's crazy. Says Reed, who spent 24 of his 58 years in jail.
Well, but you know, he's like a comic book guy that he only goes after the bad guys.
Yeah, he's the Dexter for the mob, you know? He'll go after all the
bad guys.
That's
when you know you're a bad dude, when you go after the people.
Yeah, you take out the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm for the underdog. I wish him well.
He's an underdog.
Yeah, you know, everybody's against him because he only killed, like 5 or 7 people. Yeah. Like most people don't, you know, like, oh, how terrible, you know?
Yeah. Well,
they're not going to be on his side. Are you on his side? I'm on his side. I hope he does well.
No,
with the cancer, or you hope he does well when he meets his maker.
I hope that he lives out the rest of his days in peace and happiness.
But what about when he meets his maker? What's your hope?
I hope that
conversation go?
I hope that he gets to go where he wants to go. Because I don't know his maker. Who made him? I don't know how that conversation would go, but maybe his maker would be like, fuck, I made you pretty good. You did what I told you to do because, I mean, this guy was obviously equipped for the job, you know, and it's time to come
home. His maker was like,
dude, you did too good. I got to pull you in and pat you on the back.
His maker was like, I created you to blowtorch motherfuckers. You were like, you were the one that chosen to fight the demons.
Sometimes the bad shit's going to you do it with a blowtorch or a gun. People are killing people.
Sometimes you need an Australian to go in there and handle shit, dude.
It's a crazy. Yeah.
This is a knife.
This guy should have been in the military.
That's not a knife.
That's not a blowtorch.
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
Yeah. I mean, what's the difference with the cops going and extort him or Jimmy Melbourne?
Yeah.
Yo, it's Jimmy Melbourne here with the. They call me Blowtorch Billy.
Oh, my God.
It was Chopper.
It's Chopper, yeah.
Chopper. I love this guy.
Chopper Reed. Chopper Reed.
That guy's awesome, man. I hope, I think he'll do well.
Where is Melbourne? It's on the West Coast, right? He's a West Coast chopper.
Yeah,
West
he's
coast
a
of Australia.
Yeah, Mark Brandon Reed. You know what?
Thank you.
Big up Mark Brandon Reed. Come on. Big up Mark Brandon Reed, man. Big up. You kill killed everybody in the fucking house and you talked to them first.
He was very polite. He was very nice about it. He would pop a nice thing of kettle corn for them.
Yep.
They would sit down and enjoy an espresso on a very expensive, very fancy espresso maker, and then he would blow their fucking head off.
Yeah.
I like the how you look at it, 5 to 7. Because he probably had some dude on the edge of a tall building and pointing a shotgun. He's like, well, I can do you, or you can let gravity take the job, the work.
Yeah. 4 to 7. It's like a happy hour.
You know, it's like, well, those two guys jumped. I mean, I was holding the shotgun at him. Depends on how you look at it.
Yeah.
You know, but he was probably nice about it.
I wasn't shooting at him. I wanted to shoot by him. He happened to be right there where I wasn't even wanting to shoot.
But it was like 4 or 7.
It wasn't at him. It was sort of around him at him that I was thinking.
Right. Ah, boy. Okay, so yeah, college students, after scientists found that the typical beer pong is teeming with up to 3 million germs, including salmonella, staph, and E. coli. Many of those bugs end up in the beer.
On beer pong, ping pong balls, you have salmonella. That's also been found on some of the men who play ping pong.
On
beer pong.
Crazy shit. And online porn. You remember that, right?
Beer pong or online porn?
Online porn.
Oh, I just needed to make some cash.
A new abstinent movement. Masturbation has become the latest frontier in the school of self-improvement, said Emily Witt in NewYorkMag.com. Believe it or not, there's a burgeoning movement of young men who've sworn off both internet porn and masturbation. These men have created a forum on the social media website Reddit, where they contend that online porn conditions men to want constant variety, an endless set of images and fantasies, and requires them to experience increasingly heightened stimuli to feel aroused. Men who engage in too much masturbation or fapping, F-A-P-P-I-N-G, as the site calls it, can't perform when they find themselves with real women. Practicing fapstinence, abstinence from fapping, however, enables them to conserve their vital energies and thus makes them more confident with real women and more masculine in general. It's an increasingly popular message. About 400,000 men now visit the NoFap site each month. I feel like a man again is the common refrain.
I think that you take the confidence out of a man by calling it fapping.
Sometimes I'm like, you know, sometimes I'll be like fapping a chick, right? Hey, yo. I'm putting the music on, I'm lighting the candle so I can get my fap on.
Hey, yo, sometimes I feel like fapping, sometimes I feel like fapping in. You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes you gotta fap that ass.
Where do these fucking people come up with these stupid fucking names?
It's like they changed the name from
why can't you
midget
just say,
to little people,
yeah,
you know?
Why can't you just say jerking off?
They can't, because it's got a negative connotation.
No, but everything has this fucking catchy phrase. Everything's gotta have like a little package to it.
Fapping. That's terrible.
Well, hold on. But
they need
think
a
about
better one
saying.
Than fapping.
No, but what they're saying is a really good point. It's like, no, but think about it.
Go ahead. You got a minute. Go for it.
What are the problems with our society? And it's a problem of part of it is porn, and part of it is access to internet porn. Part of it is access to this gratuitous sex on television and music. Everyone's pushing the envelope.
I have
everyone's
no problem.
Why do we need a dungeon? Why can't we just go back and make out on my couch? Why do I have to smack you, choke you, spit on your face, come on your
you
face?
Because you have a lot of
why can't we hold hands and walk to the park? No, I'm telling you.
I got you.
You guys are married. You're not out there right now.
Right.
I'm telling you, when you go out there, it used to be you'd have to convince a girl to do some dirty shit.
That you wanted to fap her.
Now, no.
Go ahead.
Now, let me tell you right now. I was with this girl, this bartender chick.
Right.
The only thing she knew about sex was from porn.
Mm-hmm.
She had no clue there was other type of sex, like where you just lay down and kiss.
Right.
She had no clue.
Right.
It was wonderful.
No, I understand. I'm with you.
You taught her. You showed her a brand new
phenomenal.
World.
It was phenomenal.
No.
I'm just
what?
Saying it's a problem out there.
You mean shove this in my twat? Really?
I'm with you. Normal sex isn't good enough. Now you got to get a vacuum cleaner involved. Yeah. You got to get gerbils, ping pong balls. Yeah. I mean, regular sex is...
Benoit balls. Like, yeah. Why can't we just sit out, watch a movie, make
gay
out,
on your
go
fucking
to the bedroom.
Scrotum, make it tingle.
Yeah.
You know?
You need to pinch it, clip it, flip it, zip it,
fap it.
You got to
jip it, the person's
hanging upside down. Why the fuck are you hanging upside down, you piece of shit?
Because sometimes sometimes you need that, but I think people get carried away with it, and that's all they do.
You're a disgrace to your father's
mother. You should just break off and have that every now and then, as like, you know, like you're going to go to the beach once a month or once a year, right? It's like a trip to the beach. You go camping.
Yeah.
That's it.
And sometimes you got to fap out.
Yeah. You know, you do the crazy shit.
It's crazy.
But you know what? I don't think the whole online shit, because guys, they're all they need to do is walk around and they're looking at chicks all the time anyway, right? You know, I mean, they don't need
not
this
in
whole
LA.
Variety.
But here's the problem is porn is violent. See the difference?
It is.
You see the difference? It's not sensual anymore.
No, it's
violent.
Well, once you start shaving the private parts of a woman, it becomes violent.
Back
in the 70s, when the shit was fucking hairy and wild, that was more sensuous to me. Yeah, I just fucking Simon was just having a serious thought. Big up to Harry Bush. Big up to unshaven sexual parts.
He got brought back to his bartender.
Big up to 1970s porn. Big up to fapping. Yeah, man. Right. Listen, we're gonna wrap this shit up. I just want to make give a big up to a charity of the week. More than 75,000 professional architects, designers, technicians, and construction workers aid those in dire need of their services through Architecture for Humanity. Go to their website, architectureforhumanity.org. They devote most of their resources to communities that have been wrecked by poverty and natural disasters since 1999. AFH has built structures for more than 2 million people in 46 countries around the world. Some of their completed construction projects include a high school in Kenya, an orphanage in India, a community center in Haiti, also known as Haiti, and new houses for Mississippi families whose homes were destroyed by Hurricane Katrina. Prior to construction, AFH designers consult families to accommodate their needs. They also replace outdated designs with more durable structures in order to minimize subsequent damages. Absolutely. Big up to the Architecture for Humanity. Big up. ArchitectureForHumanity.org. We're going to wrap this shit up. It's beautiful hanging out with you guys. Thanks for tuning in to Nestorius Public Radio here on SkidRowStudios.com. Make sure that you come to our Facebook page. I just started a new Facebook page for us. That would be Facebook.com/ Nestorius Public Radio. I'm getting the website up, NestoriusPublicRadio.com. Of course, you can come here to SkidRowStudios.com, download the episodes, or you can go to iTunes and download the episodes. We're still up on the new and noteworthy page, somewhere in that jumble of podcasts.
Yo, we're up on iTunes, new and noteworthy. So tell your friends, you got nothing better to do, baby.
Yeah.
Come hang out with us. We're making things happen. We're going to have a website. It's going to be fucking huge. We're having a picnic next summer.
Subscribe. Go to iTunes. go to Nestorius Public Radio. Subscribe. Also, rate it. Go to the iTunes page under the Nestorius Public Radio and rate the show. Give us 5 stars or give us whatever stars you want. You don't have to lie. If you don't like the show, give us a comment. If you don't like the show, do leave us a comment. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions, Nestorius@gmail.com. Okay? This is going to be it for us. Big up! Big up, y'all! Big up, y'all!
Big up!
Talking shit, so y'all gotta encourage me the whole way long. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit, so y'all gotta encourage me.